'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord that could not be.
Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I've entitled the message for this morning, Chosen to be Holy. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Now this is the state of everyone that he has chosen before the foundation of the world. He did so that we should be holy. If I asked you, do you feel holy? If you say yes, I fear that you don't have any idea what holiness is. But if you say no, I do not feel holy, I understand that response. I don't feel holy either. But if I asked you if God has chosen you to be holy, can you be anything but holy? The answer is no. Now, this is one of those spiritual blessings that Paul wrote of when he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have all spiritual blessings. And one of the spiritual blessings is holiness. Chosen to be holy. Now, what is holiness? Well, God is holy. I'd like to read a passage from Isaiah chapter 6 that I think speaks so powerfully of his holiness. This is where the seraphims cried, holy, holy, holy. It's also repeated in Revelation chapter 4. But beginning in verse 1, we read Isaiah speak these words, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now that is significant. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Now, King Uzziah was a king in Israel who had been blessed by God. And he was a very successful king, and he was a good king. But the scripture says when his heart was lifted up in him, he became proud. And he thought that he could come into God's presence without a priest. He thought he could offer up incense on his own. And what he was doing by that, he was bypassing the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saying, I can come into God's presence in my own merit. And when he tried to do that, God turned him into a leper immediately. He was made to see that he was nothing but sin. Now, Isaiah had always been impressed with Uzziah. And he saw at this time that God is so holy, he cannot be approached by a human being without the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just holy. Now, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting, not pacing back and forth worrying, but sitting, his work being finished, sitting upon a throne in complete regal royal control, controlling everything from his throne, high and lifted up in his train. The skirts of his garment filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Now these are living creatures, and each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. The seraphim without sin could not look upon God because of his holiness. With twain he covered his feet. He was ashamed of his walk. Now he didn't have any sin, but he knew that if God didn't preserve him, he would sin. He knew the only reason he didn't sin is because God kept him from it. So he was ashamed of his walk. And with twain he did fly, ready to do his bidding. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Now, if you ask the average religious person, what is God's chief attribute? I dare say they'd say love. But that's not what the seraphim said. They said, "Holy, holy, holy." You know, in what goes on under the name of gospel preaching, preachers say, "God loves you." I do too. Do you know the apostles never spoke to an audience saying, "God loves you"? Now, God's love obviously is for his people in Christ, but a lost man does not need to hear, "God loves you." A lost man needs to hear, "You're under the wrath of God." God's love is in Christ, God's mercy in Christ. He'll save those in Christ. But I'm not to tell someone indiscriminately that God loves them. What did the seraphim say? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." Now, this word "holy" means separate, other. It's his otherness. Holiness means he is utterly unlike me and you. Now, I know this. Whenever men saw or got a glimpse of his holiness, it always evoked this response. What did Isaiah say after he saw the Lord high and lifted up? And he heard those seraphims crying, "Holy, holy, holy." "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now, this I know. If you and I ever get a glimpse of the holiness of God, we're going to see ourselves the way Isaiah saw himself, as undone, as cut off, as unclean. What did Daniel say when he saw the Lord? He said, "When I saw him, my comeliness, that which I thought was beautiful, turned to corruption." Job said, "I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ears, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I hate myself and repent in dust and ashes." David said, "I was as a beast before thee." When Peter saw who he was, he said, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. You don't want to have anything to do with somebody like me." Now, that's what happens when people see God's holiness. They see their own sinfulness. And if someone has a high opinion of themselves and their own righteousness and their own merit, they've simply never seen his holiness. They have no idea who he really is. Because if you and I ever see the holiness of God, we're going to see something of our own sinfulness. Now, what is God's holiness? It's been called his moral perfections. But you know, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And here's why. It implies that there's a standard of morality that God reaches. And there is no standard. Well, for one thing, moral is not found in the Bible. And for another thing, God doesn't have a law over his head that he's trying to keep. God doesn't do something because it's holy. It's holy because he does it. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. His holiness is his infinite purity. He cannot sin. He's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. It's his inability, his holiness is his inability to accept anything that is not just like him. It's His love of righteousness, and it's His hatred of iniquity. It's His wholeness. His holiness is His wholeness. Now, this is how holy God is. And I realize I'm speaking things that I see in the Scripture and that I have some apprehension of, but it's just a little bit. Just a little bit. But even taking His name in vain is a sin punishable by death. To not have the proper reverence in using His name. Holy and reverend is His name. Thus saith the High and Lofty One who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. He's called the Holy One of Israel. His Son is called the Holy One of God. God the Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures are called the Holy Scriptures. We read of His Holy Covenant. Now, His holiness. If I was going to look at a Scripture that most speaks of His holiness, I would think of Psalm 22, verse 3. Now, in verse 1, these are the words of the Lord from the cross. I know David said them, but David said them because Christ said them. Christ cried from the cross. His middle statement, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Lord Jesus Christ at that time was feeling forsaken because He was forsaken. He was feeling all the awful wrath of God against sin. He was forsaken by His Father. And He says, why have you forsaken me? And He doesn't ask this because He doesn't know why. He knew He was made sin. He knew that He was bearing the sins of God's elect, and they actually became His sins so that He became guilty of them, and God in justice was forsaking Him. But when He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He says in verse 3, Thou art holy. And there's the holiness of God. Even when sin is found in His own Son, He forsakes Him. Why? Because God is holy. His holiness separates Him from all others. None is as holy as the Lord, we read in the book of Revelation. And this is why idolatry is so evil. It's the humanizing of God. Thou thoughtest, He said in Psalm 50, Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. With whom will you compare me? Or who is like unto me? This is God in His utter holiness. Now, if you said, which is most like God, an angel or a grasshopper? The answer is neither. No one is like Him. He's incomprehensible. There's nothing to compare Him to. And before time began, this holy God chose a people to be holy, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, by the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified. This is talking about every believer. By the which of will we are sanctified. We are declared by God to be holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, God didn't just indiscriminately, arbitrarily say, you're holy. No, the sin was put away through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And perfect righteousness is given, and every believer is now holy by virtue of what Christ did for them. Hebrews 10:14 says, by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might presented to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish before him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, having made peace. That's what the Lord did through the blood of his cross by him. To reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Every believer is holy because God chose them to be holy. Every believer is holy because Christ made them so. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And every believer is made holy in regeneration, in being born again, in the new birth. They're given a holy nature, a nature that comes from God. Peter called it in 2 Peter 1:4, partakers of the divine nature. Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection is when a sinner is raised from the dead and given life. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I love the way John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, I realize there are many translations that say, well, he doesn't practice sin. Well, that's not what this says. It says he doesn't commit sin, period. The new man, that which is born of God, doth not commit sin. For his seed, the seed of God, that incorruptible seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he is born of God. Now somebody says, I don't understand this. Well, I don't either, but I believe it. It's what the Scripture teaches. I love what Peter said once again in 1 Peter 3:4. He speaks of the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. It's not subject to sin. It's the hidden man. Somebody says, I can't see it. I know you can't. It's hidden. But we know it's there. If God has given me life, if he has birthed me into the kingdom of heaven, I've been given a holy nature. So I am a holy brethren, a partaker of the heavenly calling. As a matter of fact, that's what saints mean. Saints means holy one. And you see, it's the holy nature that sees the sinfulness of the old nature. You know, one thing about God's people is every one of them see very clearly that they're sinners, that they're evil. And it takes a holy nature to see that. If you don't see that about yourself, it's because you don't have a holy nature. A natural man can't understand sin. He doesn't have a sense of sin. You have to have a holy nature to be able to have any understanding of what sin is. I love what Hebrews 2:11 said. Both he that sanctifieth, that makes holy, and they who are sanctified, made holy, are all of one. Holiness comes by being united, eternally united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is mysterious, but it is revealed in the Scripture. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, both he who makes holy and those who are made holy, are all of one. If Christ is holy, I am holy. I think of what the Lord said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now, what a beautiful illustration of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. The same stems that go through the vine go through the branches. There is no connecting point. They're one. All of God's people are one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, holy. As He is, so are we in this world. Is He holy? So are we. Another scriptural illustration would be Levi paying tithes. He's said to have paid tithes when Abraham paid the tithes because he was in the loins of his father Abraham. When Abraham paid tithes, all of his descendants paid tithes. This speaks of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. If He is holy, I am holy. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says He is made unto us sanctification. He's made unto us holiness. Now when He says, be ye holy, for I am holy, you can only be holy if you are holy. Now listen real carefully. You cannot become holy because of something you do. Nor can you become more holy by something you do. Nor can you become less holy by something you do. You're holy because of this. I am the Lord that sanctifieth thee. You're holy because God made you holy. You were chosen to be holy. Christ declared you to be holy by what He did for you. God the Holy Spirit made you holy when He gave you a holy nature. You're holy by virtue of being united to Christ, and you can't become more holy or less holy. That's very important. Now, somebody says, don't we grow? Yeah, we do. We grow in grace. The Scripture says grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we grow in the fruit of the Spirit. But you can't become more holy or less holy if you're holy. Holiness is what God has made you, and it doesn't know any degrees. As a matter of fact, if you're a believer, you will be no more holy in heaven than you are right now. Every believer is holy. Now, this shows what a drain the flesh puts on us, that sinful nature, because we sure, certainly don't feel that way. But nevertheless, it's true. You're as holy now as you will be in heaven. I think this is interesting. The only time the word holier is used in Scripture is in Isaiah 65, when God speaks of those who say, holier than thou, stand back from me, I am holier than thou. That's where that phrase came from, Isaiah chapter 65. People use it all the time. A holier than thou attitude. And God says concerning that person who says, I'm holier than thou, these are a smoke in my nose. God despises this attitude. It's completely contrary to the gospel. Now, here's an interesting fact. Only once did a holy man walk upon this earth without a sinful nature. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know why He walked upon this earth? Nobody got it. They didn't understand. You see, the natural man has no understanding of holiness. The natural man really has no understanding of sin. It takes a holy nature to recognize holiness. Now, a holy God requires His people to be holy and to regard Him as holy. And everybody who is holy will regard Him as such. Now, I'd like to read you a passage of Scripture from Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I'll be sanctified in them that come nigh me. I'll be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Now, why did Moses say that? Well, let's look at the first of this chapter. And Nadab and Abihu, they were the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. You see, there was only one fire that was to be recognized, the fire from off the altar. And they thought, well, we're sincere. Our hearts are right. We don't have to go to the altar to get fire. This fire will do. And what they were doing was saying the sacrifice of Christ is not utterly necessary in everything in this incense being offered up and being accepted by God. It could only be accepted because of the sacrifice of Christ, not because of our sincerity, not because of any moral goodness in us. You see, they were recognizing the holiness of God. The only way He can be approached is through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they thought this could be bypassed, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord because they saw no need. Now, understand this. The only way you truly regard Him as holy, remember, Peter said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Regard Him as holy. The only way you regard Him as holy is by looking wholly to Christ. You look nowhere else but Christ as the only way you can come into God's presence. That's what a holy person does. An unholy person sees no need for this. They think this is splitting hairs. That's because they have no understanding of the holiness of God. If you have any understanding of the holiness of God, you're going to know that the only way you can approach Him is through Christ. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Pursue peace with all men and pursue holiness. If I am holy, I will pursue holiness. That's what people with a holy nature do. They pursue holiness. They hate their sin, and they pursue holiness. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:15, as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I entitled this message, Chosen to be Holy. I think it's interesting that the enemies of grace who do not like election, they say, well, election is not for holiness. It's against holiness. Oh, that's not the case at all. Election, God's electing love of His people before the foundation of the world, is the very fountain of holiness. Holiness comes because you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And what a spiritual blessing this is, holiness. God can look at every believer and embrace them as holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight because they are holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. What a blessing to be holy. Now, I'd like to invite you to services at Todd's Road Grace Church, where service begins this morning at 10:30, this evening at 6. We'd love to have you come out and hear the gospel. We have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church right or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Diver praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.